You're back. It's been a minute. It's been a minute. Cheers.
Salute.
Cheers. So yeah, this is, I guess, like the inaugural world you're not in.
Oh shit.
I know.
The weird one.
You know, well, it's funny because like I've had you on before. And part of the whole concept, you heard the like farewell morning drinkers one.
Right.
Was that I kind of wanted to get not necessarily like serious, but learn a little bit more and be a little less goofy. And
a little more structure and
just learn a little bit more about who I'm speaking with.
Right.
So in keeping with that kind of theme, like, I mean, I've known you for years. Like, yeah. I guess I want to know, like, where also, we don't need to, like, dig into your childhood. This isn't, like, an mm-hmm. interview like that. But it's more, because you and I connect on the conspiracy shit.
Yeah.
You know? So I want to know, like, what got you into that?
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah, what got you into the conspiracies?
So part of the reason why I've always kind of had that element to my persona is that where I grew up, which is a little town called Calipatria or Calipatria. Calipatria means the pride of California, but it's just like 3,000 people.
Right.
My friends and I, growing up, we were kind of like ghetto little skater rocker kids, you know? Mm-hmm. And we hung out with a bunch of tweakers. And some of us, you know, went down that road. And some of us went all the way down that road. Some of us kind of veered off at, you know, whatever points in our lives. But we got to hang around with all these crazy people from, like, Slab City and...
Okay, yeah.
And also, like, listen to older dudes talk who had been already kind of into this shit. And so from a young age, it was like we were talking about, you know, whatever, you know.
These are
JFK, like,
so these are like descendants of like hippies, essentially.
Kinda. It's like because there are...
Or am I just like wrong about Slab City altogether?
So Slab City is not quite that. It's more of like an extreme, like libertarian,
okay,
like community, and it's also just like a crazy, like drug community. You know, it's just like there's people that live there because they want to live off grid, or they can't live anywhere else, or they're running from certain problems, legal issues, or whatever, family issues. But there's literally no running water. Well, I guess now certain places might have some water. Electricity is kind of hard as well. Most people live off of their own, you know, live off of their own resources there. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting place. It's not where I'm from. But growing up in this town, where I'm from, it's kind of like the next town up is like a bigger town, so they're like, yeah, they think they're better than us. And they're like, yeah, this guy sucks.
What town is that?
And then that's Brawley.
Brawley, okay.
And then the next town up from there, and the next town up, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
and
right,
so everybody,
right.
The shit kind of just keeps on rolling down the hill or whatever. Yeah. And so I'm from one of the smallest towns, and then there's two smaller towns who had to bus into my town.
And you guys shit on them.
And we kind of shit on them. Yeah, we did. I was never that type of person.
Uh-huh.
I never liked being that way. But they was like, they would say people from the slabs were slabbers. And it's because they were poor kids.
Right.
You know, with like, they had to come to school to eat, you know. And not all of them. I mean, some of those people knew how to hustle the system and whatnot. But like, they would come and it was like, they were the underprivileged kids. And so they were the slabbers, so to say. But a lot of those older dudes are like crazy, like meth heads that are just like, making their own fucking gun shells and stuff like that, you know, like, and
these are like almost like doomsday preppers,
like kind of, but not really, because they're not really prepping like that. They're mostly just doing drugs.
Gotcha.
And there's some cool shit out there, and there's people out there who just are hard on their luck, and they're like, well, I can right. sit up here, you know, and there's a community here and whatever. And they have certain little resources, but almost nothing, like zero.
Mm.
And I'm not exaggerating. You can look that shit up, like Slab City, California. You could look up Nyland, California. And you could look up, you know, what's Bombay Beach, all those beaches that surround.
I don't even know what that is, Bombay Beach.
So Salton Sea.
I know what Salton Sea is.
So there's all these little desert communities around. And there's like West Shores. Dude, you go there and you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's like mostly trailers. And if you get a fucking trailer out there, you build a cover for it because the sun will just eat it up, right?
Right.
You build this cover and then you just work in like Palm Desert or Indio or out in the fields, or there's a lot of geothermal plants. And so you have a lot of also like families, like immigrant families who come to fucking work their ass off. So they live in this little trailer because they're saving all their money.
And does it work? Do people ever get out? I mean, like they're saving. So
you're talking about either they're gonna save up and make something of themselves here, or they're gonna save up and take that shit and go back down south, and they're gonna crush it down south.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
what are the career opportunities in that area? Is it farmland? Is it what is it exactly that? You mentioned a geothermal plant.
Yeah.
Are there jobs there or something?
Oh, yeah. That's like one of the better jobs. We got a crybaby dog over here that wants to come outside. So job opportunities. He wants a treat. That's why.
It's all good.
They want the jobs out there used to be mainly agricultural, you mm-hmm. know, and so farmhands, people who knew how to do the work the machines and whatnot. So yeah, we were talking about jobs. So it used to be like just mainly agricultural. Right. And then with these communities that moved and made their way and kind of established themselves in that part of the region, in the Imperial Valley and Coachella Valley and all that stuff. Coachella Valley's bigger, and you have part of Riverside County out there too. But in the Imperial Valley, then you started to have families who needed to, you know, like medical and schools and, you know, grocery stores and whatnot. And so it kind of flourished from there, but it's still mainly like an agricultural region. Mm-hmm. Now the best jobs that you can get out there are probably like law enforcement, Customs Border Patrol, because we are close to Mexicali, the Mexican border. Mm-hmm. And then you have geothermal plants. I heard that they've started to possibly like develop lithium mines.
Really?
Which is, yeah, something that's kind of, not like a new development, but that's something that's happening.
It's like a lithium rich area.
So they.
Oh, dude.
So there's like
already. I'm like, this is ripe for conspiracies. A geothermal plant.
Oh yeah. Well, Salton Sea.
Yeah.
They used to be a mine in like a town and stuff.
Right.
And that all got covered.
Yeah, we'll get into that because I want to know also, like, you know more about it. I only know.
I know a little bit because I never really went down the rabbit hole on that one, but yeah, I mean,
it's like, too close to home.
Yeah, no, and it's just like because you grew up next to it, and so you just kind of smelled it. And you're like, oh, salt and sea, because it's, you know, it's like, it's, I don't know, it's kind of putrid, you know. But yeah, so there's those jobs, sheriffs, and I mean, there's a bunch of stuff like the irrigation water is a big thing, as you know, we are in like.
Where is that water coming California. From, though? Because to me, I'm like, you're from, like, desert.
Desert, yeah.
So is that Colorado River? Where is it coming from?
So, yeah, it's a runoff. The water has been, like, basically through these crazy huge canals, and they've found a way to, you know, redirect it and run it through this, which used to be, like, an agricultural place, which it still is. If you look at it on the map, you look at the satellite view, it's like desert, and then all of a sudden you see all these green. Blocks
okay.
and patches. So you can do that. You can look that stuff up if you want to show that in the video.
Fuck it.
Yeah, that's
And so, but yeah, so that water is coming from there, and then now it's being like redirected all the way to LA, and LA is like taking all of it. So a lot of farmers, from what I hear, are you know, not farming anymore and just basically leasing their, using their water rights to lease them to greater Los Angeles.
Whoa, no way. So
area.
They have, what do you mean they have, so like they have part ownership of whatever water that's passing through their land?
Because it's coming through their land. So I think they have something like some crazy like 100-year leases or something like that, you know?
And they're making bank off
They could do whatever they want with it. Yeah. So literally, water is so expensive in the Imperial Valley.
Well, yeah. I would imagine.
Because it's a desert, but not just that. Because now these ranchers would rather sell that.
Yeah.
Because
they don't have to work for anything. It's just passive income.
They don't have
income.
To farm anymore.
Literally passive income. River income.
Yeah. It's kind of wild, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. So that's part of the reason why the farming, you know,
has diminished.
Has diminished a little bit, yeah.
Interesting. I always wondered. Yeah, I always wondered. A few things I wondered. And let's take it like step by step because we're gonna go back to the conspiracy.
By the way, I'm not like an authority figure on any of this shit. This is just like half hearsay, half like I read an article here.
Yeah, I guess. My question with that, you know, I've driven through the desert before, especially down like Navajo country, and one of my big questions was like, because you look around and it's just dirt for as far as the eye can see, and I'm like, why did people like say, you know what, this is where I'm gonna set up shop, like this is great. There's no water. There's no food. Well, there's like, what's going on?
But there is. You always set up close to like a water source.
Right.
But you remember that these people were like travelers and, you know, migrant and semi-sedentary or semi-nomadic people. I wouldn't say nomadic, but yeah. And so they kind of would, you know, set up, okay, I'm walking through here and it's fall or whatever.
Right.
Or say it's springtime, so I'm just like dropping, you know, seeds, planting seeds in this soil. Right. Next time we walk through, there might be some trees.
Gotcha.
There might be some food source. We're also following like, you know, game and stuff like that. And out in the desert, there's tons of game. We're talking about like, yeah, like there's like deer out there. There's, you know, you're going to have like food source out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you know how to like, I'm like a coyote out there.
Yeah.
If you have that knowledge and that wisdom of how to live in the desert, then the desert is fruitful because it might look barren, but there's always water under the ground if you know how to find it.
Yeah.
There's always going to be food sources. There's always going to be animals that live out there. And I mean, dude, you can't get around it if you're like walking through those lands. You're gonna have to go through some desert.
Yeah, I'm you're a desert kid. I'm so not a desert kid. Like, I get that there's, you know, groundwater, and you know, you will see, to me it does look barren. You will see the occasional animal, but it's not as like, for example, if you're in the forest, I feel like you're just seeing wildlife all the time. You're seeing rivers, streams all the time.
There's more predators in the forest though.
There are.
Yeah, and not just the predators, but like if you go somewhere where there's a winter and like a real winter with snow and...
Yeah, it's pretty harsh.
That's hard. Like the desert gets really cold at night.
Yeah.
But you get some shelter and you're kind of okay. Daytime, you're not walking around in the sun.
No.
You're just chilling in the shade.
Yeah.
You're just fucking hanging nuts and you're just like, oh, it's fucking hot.
Yeah, I hate that feeling so much, dude. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, dude. I one thing like I love and I miss is, and this is kind of crazy, but I know people from where I'm from and from hot places will kind of understand this. When you go out to your car, when you go to your car and you get in your car and it's hot,
super,
and you sit down and your ass and your back is on fire, you touch the steering wheel, it's like,
burning, dude.
Love that
feeling. What? You're out of your mind.
And it's just like all that air has been just hot inside that car. You just sit in there and it's just like you get in a sauna. It's amazing, dude.
Oh, we are so different.
Yeah.
I do not like that feeling.
Yeah, it's a. I like it.
I used to have a.
I gotta let this fucker out.
Let him out.
He's gonna cry the whole time, man.
I used to have these leather seats in my old car, and you know what that's like when it's been cooking. And dude, the amount of times I've burnt, like if I'm wearing shorts, the amount of time I've burned my fucking skin, it's like, nah, you guys like that? Absolutely not.
All right, buddy, you're a crybaby. This is the baby of the house. His name is Tetlan Xolochuyani.
Rudy Giuliani, gotcha.
Yeah, I know, I always thought that too. Tetlan Xolochuyani. What we call him, Chewy.
Chewy. It's very Mexican.
Yeah. His name, Tetlan Xolochuyani, means he who bares his teeth and growls or snarls like a dog. Wow. Which when we first got him, he was just like, and he still does it. He's got some little snaggle. He's got his canines and then he's got like these two other ones that face out. Mm-hmm. And they bother him, so he's always doing that. So his name is very fitting. Tetlan Xolochuyani. He's also a freaking little crybaby.
Yeah, big time crybaby. So anyway, let's get back to the... I want to hear more about what you know about the Salton Sea and get back into why you gravitate towards... You know, you talked about JFK, you know, we're into alien stuff. But what do you know about the Salton Sea? What kind of like...
Well, I don't know much. Uh-huh. So you should look it up.
Well, I don't have internet right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I mean, we could just use a phone real quick.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. I just know that there used to be salt mines down there. Don't lick my pants, please. And that it was like an old mining, not village, but like, you know, a little community. And through one reason or another, whatever happened, some levee dam broke. I'm not exactly sure. All that thing ended up being underwater. So let's see. Salton Sea. I grew up next to it, but I never really got into it. I feel ashamed. I feel unprepared.
Well, this is why we're here.
And there's a shit ton of lithium out there. That's the newest kind of.
That's what's fascinating to me. I had no idea. Is that like recently discovered?
Kind of. Oh, here we go. Here's a story. What happened to the Salton Sea? The story of the Salton Sink. So once a desert oasis, the Salton Sea has been transformed into unfruitful wasteland with questionable waters. Here's what happened to it. God, these writers, man, they just want to be creative so bad. The Salton Sea is a strange, lesser-known saline lake located along the San Andreas Fault, close to covered destinations such as Palm Springs, coveted destinations such as Palm Springs and Joshua Tree. Joshua Tree is the same thing as where I'm from. It's the same thing, except they have those yucca trees. That's it. As the state's predominantly largest body of water, the Endorheic Rift Lake is critical to wildlife habitat, especially the migratory birds, which, yes. But the mesmerizing Salton Sea has been transformed from a beloved desert oasis into an unfruitful wasteland with questionable waters. So what's really going on here? Gosh. Here we go. In 1905, the Salton Sea was accidentally created when water from the Colorado River spilled out of an ill-constructed California Development Company irrigation system. Accident.
So it's man-made. It's a man-made accident.
Yeah, it was like, I knew it was like a dam or a levee or something.
Oh, man, I was so mistaken. I always thought it was like this big ass lake that, you know, has just existed for like since prehistoric times, whatever. Yeah.
No, but some people talk about it because of the actual basin, actually being that, but I don't know. Check it out. The Salton Sea is situated in one of the lowest points in the country. The surface is over 200 feet below sea level. That's a valley, the Imperial Valley. And it's like Riverside and Imperial County out there. So the water does not flow out through a river or stream. All of this is due to tectonic tension within faults that are pushing in opposite directions, forming a sunken basin.
Gotcha.
Okay, during the 1950s and 60s, the salt level in the water was considerably lower than it is today. And as a result, the Salton Sea was a hot spot for tourists, hence those little communities.
Right.
And they, Throughout the years, the lake gained reputation for being a beautiful oasis, attracting droves of tourists during warmer months. So it was supposed to be, or they were looking at it, because there's a bunch of like hot spots and desert hot springs out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they were looking at developing this little like mini.
Right. Just like oasis, how Palm Springs like was.
Yeah. And Palm Springs is still like that, but with a little lake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you're like in the desert and you have a lake. It was like kind of hip.
This is your Havasu.
Exactly. Right. Like a Havasu, exactly. Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. And then they go on to talk about this. I'll send you the link for this this thing so you can post it. But yeah, it's an interesting place. It's super weird. It's funny that it was just like some shoddy construction.
Right. Just an accident.
I mean.
A little Bob Ross happy accidents.
A happy accident. You got to think too that they're getting like this, you know, this water coming in from the Colorado River, and if you got a super cold winter, like you're gonna get a lot of water.
Yeah.
And California's been in a drought for what? How long? You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, yeah, we go back and forth because I feel like we're not anymore. With the past couple of years, we've just had so much rain.
Dude, I saw.
It's insane.
Last year, I think it was, for the first time, I did a. So I used to tour like all up and down the coast.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And I've driven the entire length of California many times. But last year, I believe it was the first time as I was driving through it that I saw like green rivers, you know, arroyos, like little streams and whatnot.
I like how you say brooks.
Arroyos, brooks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also saw that like Watsonville is a town that was like completely inundated.
Yeah.
It's just like it was dry for, you know, decades, and then all of a sudden,
boom,
water, and it's like goodbye all that farmland. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's beautiful. California is crazy beautiful. Central California, when it's green, it's
It's nice. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
all of California, I think, is actually very, very beautiful if the weather's right. If it actually does get the seasons.
Right.
Because right now, Southern California has just been getting so much rain that when I'm just driving even around San Diego, I'm like, wow, everything's green. All these vibrant colored flowers. The valleys now look really nice because it's just all this foliage. It's really, really pretty.
It's really nice. And I honestly, like, I think we kind of lost track of it. Or lost sight of it because for a long time we were in this like crazy drought and everything is just like
ugly. It's brown.
Yeah. You
ugly.
Just see like hard shrubs, you know, that are just not pleasant to look
tumbleweeds,
at.
Tumbleweeds, bro.
Tumbleweeds. Yeah. Literally tumbleweeds. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you see like the soft, like, you know, dancing grass and stuff. Yeah. And it's just like, whoa, this is nice.
Yeah.
There's like some places in San Diego that I drive by or when I take the train up to LAX that I'm just like, dude, this is like, And you know, what are those little like inlets that are when you're going up like before Del Mar and all that? Dude, it looks like prehistoric times. I feel like you're just going to see a stegosaurus just like cruising right there, you know?
It's funny. Whenever I'm in Mission Valley and I'm going, you know, back up the hill towards my place, those little valleys do remind me of Jurassic Park because you just get these hills where it just looks like, oh, this is where they filmed it, you know? Almost. And they filmed it in Hawaii, so it's like, that's fascinating. That it almost kind of has this Hawaiian vibe. You're like, whoa.
That coastal thing.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, a lot of, like, awesome foliage, different, like, because it's desert.
Right.
And so you have a different type of, like, texture.
Bright colored flowers.
Yeah, all the
beautiful
the flowers. Yeah, I was just out there. We took a little trip to Borrego Springs to go see, you know, some of the super bloom and whatnot. Yeah. And then Joshua Tree and Palm Springs, that whole region, literally drove through like Salton Sea and all
everything
that shit.
You're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny that we're talking about it. But you see how like the internet makes certain things really popular.
Yeah.
Like a super bloom.
Yeah.
When it's like, it's beautiful.
Right.
But those are everywhere, dude.
Yeah.
It's just like the community that went out to the desert.
It's what TikTok does, dude.
Oh, yeah, TikTok.
Bro.
I'm a TikToker now.
Now we're getting into because this is something we recorded a little bit yesterday, mm-hmm. and this is kind of maybe conspiratorial. I don't know. I feel like it's actually not, though. It seems fairly easily proven. But yeah, you're a TikToker now, and everything's subscription based.
Oh yeah, life is now
one giant subscription. You need to subscribe to live.
For real, dude. You're up on the mic now. yeah. So I think that's a really like popular model that is being implemented in every sort of like.
What are we doing? What are we going to do?
Water in other countries is subscription based. You know what I'm saying?
In this country, you just have these people renting out to LA.
Right. No, and even here, like, yeah. You know, think about, you know, the water here or San Diego Gas and Electric or whatever. You got to pay, but it's not the same as, say, Mexico, for example. You got to have the guy come to your house
and
fill your water container, your whatever, rotoplas, your reservoir. You in Jamaica, you know, I went through that in there too, but like here we got everything just piped in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I have a Brita, dude. I just filters
it out that way. We're so wasteful with water.
Right.
Like running the shower before you get in to get it warm is wasteful as fuck.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not like a I'll do cold showers. Yeah. I'll do hot showers. You know, I prefer a warm shower. It's nice. But when I turn that water on, it's because I'm getting in. I'm like naked. I'm naked when I'm turning the faucet on.
You're making a point right now.
Not turning on that water.
And doing something else.
And doing something else.
Yeah.
And then coming back. I know it's nice to have a little steamy sauna, but it's really not necessary and it's very wasteful. And you know, washing dishes.
Right.
It's like washing clothes every day.
Yeah. Very. I do wasteful. A lot of laundry. I mean.
Very wasteful. And you do because it's sports.
Well, yeah, jiu-jitsu. So.
Yeah. And so like I've tried to be like, okay, my gym routine is like set. And so I make sure that I have enough clothes for each session.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the week, it gets washed.
Gotcha.
Because then I have more stuff and more clothes, and that sucks too. But at least, like, I'm only doing laundry for the week one time.
Right.
Yeah, the doing laundry is crazy, wasteful. I mean, we're in the desert. The house that I grew up in is in the fucking desert.
That's dog. A desert.
You walk outside of my house, and all you see is desert. There's no town anymore. I'm in the last street of town, right? And so we had a green lawn.
Yeah, that's not natural.
Dude, my whole life, everybody out there, like the dudes, because most of these families, like my family, my mother's side and my father's side, were agricultural workers. That's how we came to the U.S. And so they weren't going to leave work and then come home and have some shitty front yard.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to have no cement patio or something, you know? Like, they're like, nah, I'm going to have a green grass because I want my house to be fucking nice when I come home and it's cool and go out there and walk on the grass or whatever. It looks nice.
Right.
So what do people do? Can't water the grass in the daytime. Nah. And water the grass at night. And some guys got really hip to this shit because certain parts of town you have like little canals. So one of my uncles, and I'm trying not to rat my family out, but he lived at the end of the street and there's a canal. And so this motherfucker just set up a water pump and his grass is the greenest grass in the whole neighborhood because at night he just turned it on.
Yeah.
He had irrigation at his own house off of county irrigation. Free water. He was, you know, he was smart. Other guys that work in the fields that get a hold of these like big water trucks, they'll just come by and they'll be like, hey, come fill up your containers. You got like a 600 gallon whatever container. They'll fill you up. Wow. On the, you know, and the same thing happened because these communities, we took care of our each other, you know. So if you had a family that was working the watermelon season or something,
yeah.
Then whenever after, you know, once it was like they're harvesting everything and they loaded up all these trucks and whatnot, there was always extra boxes of stuff.
Right.
Or people would set stuff aside. And they'd just stop by your house and be like, they would knock or they wouldn't even knock. And then you'd walk outside in the morning or in the evening or whatever. And there's like a box of watermelon at your house.
Sick.
It's like, and those are your uncles and your family friends and whatnot. And you always kind of had that, like where I grew up.
Just small town vibe.
Yeah, because it's a small town, dude.
Yeah.
There's two main roads in my town. There's a bunch of other little streets.
Yeah.
But there's the town is bisected by a highway. We don't have any freeways around from. They're highways. And the other one is this like long like avenue that just runs from one side of the desert to the other side. You know? But yeah, it's like the water thing is kind of gets me. Especially like, yeah, we're wasteful with water, man.
Absolutely. Dude, but that's fascinating because like you come from this small town. I want to say, like you said, it's agricultural, but somehow you ended up being a world traveling musician.
Super random.
Nobody else is a musician in your family?
Zero
so
musicians.
So like how did
one of my nieces now is a pretty good singer.
Okay.
But she's not like doing music, you know?
Right.
She'll sing like the national anthem at like a high school game or something.
Is that because of you though?
Maybe. I think she likes to sing. Because she has this thing that I have too, and a lot of my family does. So when they sing something that they really feel it, you know? Like when I sing songs, first of all, I don't learn lyrics because I suck. I don't know one full song. But when it's a hook to a song that I really love and a song that gets me in the feels,
yeah,
I'll tear up.
Okay.
My niece is like that, where she sings a song, like she sings with her heart, you know? Yeah. And so she just like gets overwhelmed and cry.
I like that you mentioned the lyrics thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
That's really common. I listen to this podcast where...
Really?
Yeah, it was.
I don't feel so bad.
He's like kind of getting canceled right now, but he's ignoring it. It's pretty awesome. Andrew Huberman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I see.
Anyway,
he's canceled.
He's getting canceled because I guess like he's like a bad boyfriend. He's like cheating on like four or five different women.
Oh man!
But it has nothing to do with like
any of the work
that he's doing. They're just trying to cancel him for being like a bad boyfriend. Like I said.
Being a womanizer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know all the details. Maybe there are more. I don't really give a shit. Obviously, he doesn't. He's like,
does he have a bunch of kids all over the place?
No.
I mean, not an excuse, but I'm just.
He's not. It's funny.
Just asking.
It's funny because he's not acknowledging it. So, if you go on his Instagram, there's people commenting like, bro is just going to completely ignore the fact that he's getting canceled with new content.
It's because cancel culture sucked. Cancel culture's done.
So he's anyway, I was listening to a podcast. He had Corey Henry on there and Tom Segura and I think Bert Kreischer. And
all of them together?
All of them together.
Oh, dude, that's rad. I gotta watch that. Yeah.
And I don't know if you knew this, Andrew Huberman and Tom Segura are like distant cousins.
Yeah, and they look alike.
Yeah, they're actually related. So Tom is like us. He's like, I don't know any lyrics, but if you play the beat and everything, like I know the song, I like
all that shit.
Yeah. And Corey was kind of saying the same thing, and then Huberman's like, well, there's science that there's basically two different types of people that are like strictly lyric based, but that's like all they know the words, they gravitate towards the words. And then what he's coming to find out, more musicians that are just strictly music. They don't really they could maybe even get the phrasing, but the words will be gibberish because the word.
Gibberish.
Yeah. That's not what you guys are listening for. And Tom was like, that's exactly how my brain works. So it's funny you say that because I've gotten into.
I got a connection with Tom and lyrics and a Tom Segura story.
Go for it.
So I started playing for Big Daddy Kane
mm-hmm.
just in the last couple of years.
Sup, Kane?
So every time I'm next to him, I just want to go, sup, Kane?
Sup, Kane?
I don't do it, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't do it. But the music in that show is very simple because it's like based off samples, right?
So right.
Maybe it's like a one bar repeating bass line. But because it's hip hop and he's the lyrical master.
Right.
There's a million fucking lyrics, dude. And the only way to hit all the stops, because of course the song has stops and cuts blah, 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 is to learn the lyrics. And I'm a terrible lyric guy.
Right.
And this is a lyrical genius.
Yeah.
Like, dude has crazy lyrics.
Yeah.
So I can't like count bars. I can't be like.
Now you got to know. Like, oh, now he says this line, boom, we're gonna.
So I'm like watching, and then part of it is like intuition, just like, where do you feel it? It's gonna stop. You know, there's that musical intuition. But yeah, I'm just like, Tom Segura, I just wanna be like, sup, Kane? And sup, then I'm Kane? Like, damn, I don't know any of his lyrics. I wonder if Tom Segura knows his lyrics.
That's a good question.
Because he's a big hip hop guy.
Yeah, he's
right?
a big, he loves like Guru, he loves the whole Gangstar. And
dude.
Yeah.
We need to hit the YMH cast and be like, hey, dude.
Sup, Kane?
Sup, Kane?
Sup, Kane? Yeah, man. You turned me on to some Danny Jones.
Oh, man.
And
I'm digging Danny right now.
I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with that because the first one you sent me was like, this is the most insane conspiracy theory shit I have ever encountered.
Wait, which one was it?
No, dude, the one where like they're not aliens. They're it's like a biblical holy war. These things are fucking demons or whatever.
It's a Beck Lover.
Yeah.
Oh, Beck Lover, shout out. He's good,
dude.
He's a little radical. He's a little crazy too.
Oh, he's 100% crazy.
Yeah.
But I've been on a sick one. Just kind of thinking outside the box a little bit. I was talking with someone last week, and I think finished the Ray Kurzweil episode on Rogan. So I was thinking, you know, what is our future?
Ray Kurzweil is the AI guy.
He's like a futurist, like right?
He's heavy.
Yeah, and he's been around forever, right? I mean, and he's actually kind of a positive guy. When I was listening to it, Rogan was very like doomsday about it. Like it's going to be problematic. This and that.
Yeah.
And Kurzweil's like, yeah, I don't see it that way.
It's evolution.
Yeah. And I've had this isn't who I was having this discussion with, but I was, you know, I've had kind of some discussions with a friend that we've had, and he's like super anti the merge, like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whereas I welcome it. I want it.
Hmm. Well, you know,
I really want.
I don't think I stand on either side. Like, part of me wants us to turn off ChatGPT and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just because we haven't figured out some basic human things, like how to not kill each other and you know.
Okay.
Hurt each other.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible.
I don't. That's the reason why I'm like, you can't stop that, so then don't turn off the AI.
Yeah.
You know, don't turn off ChatGPT. Don't turn off. Ooh,
he's going to flick the mic.
Pointing the cannon at you. Yeah, I feel like the main purpose for this thing is going to be to create this technology that's going to, you know, possibly get us, make us a breakaway, you know, species or whatever, civilization, but also. It's just gonna be guns, dude. It's just gonna be weapons. It's gonna be nukes and.
So that's what Rogan was going at. He's like, we're gonna blow up the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think because if we can't figure out how to not kill each other, then at some point we're gonna blow up the fucking world.
Right. I guess where I'm thinking it's gonna. I think actually, it's not one or the other. I don't think it's mutually exclusive. I think it can be both. And here's what I think is gonna happen. It won't be.
Take us out of here. Hey, we're on camera, dude.
It won't be every single, you know, living person today that will merge, ascend, get off world.
Mm-hmm.
It will be you know, possibly a few, possibly even, you know, who knows? Maybe it will be a million plus. I don't know. Who knows? Right. And it's possible that, you know, they get off and then they blow up the planet. Whatever. What I foresee happening, and I think it's happening already at such a rapid rate, is that we are going to be able to take our consciousness and remove it from our biological body, upload it to whatever we want. Now, also, I think it, in order for us to, let's say, continue seeding the universe, so to speak, it can't be in this form anyway.
Yeah, it can't. This thing won't go to the next spot.
It won't. So what we do is we upload to a machine, or at least some sort of like hybrid, and we go wherever. And let's say we find another planet, though, that we see fit. But maybe this biological organism wouldn't even survive on that planet.
Yeah, then we make a lizard biological.
Yeah, we can make some more sort of thing that could survive on that planet. We upload it, boom, we
see.
That's
why you see them on Star Wars, and they got the weird heads and all that shit. Yeah, no.
To me, that's inevitable. To me, that's happening.
Yeah, I think consciousness can have a biological form, or it cannot be that.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't think it's biological. I don't think consciousness is biological.
No, I don't think it is either. Yeah. I think it transcends, and it's something. Yeah. I think it is interdimensional.
Why? Well, yeah, that's
and that's super, where Beck Lover comes
that's
in.
That's super. Yeah, that's super heavy because and you sense more than if I watch. I can watch a movie that's like the newest whatever, you know, like CGI.
Yeah.
And just be like fake.
Right.
But I could take a trip, like a DMT trip.
Yeah.
And what you see there is real. It's not a fucking, it's not a cartoon.
And it's interdimensional, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that when you go there, then you're like, oh, this is something actually talking to me.
Yeah.
This is like when you do mushrooms and you look at a tree and you're like, shit. When you do mushrooms and you look at a plant in a fucking pot,
it's moving, dude.
And you go, no, you're like, you look at it and you're like, oh my God, look at this poor slave in a cell.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've thought of that
shit. The plant is a slave in a cell.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be living in this much fucking soil.
Nah.
Right?
It's supposed to be out there.
Bonsais. Bonsais are cruelty, dude.
Stunted. On purpose.
Cruelty.
Stunted.
Super cruelty.
Stunted. Right?
And so. Keep going. And so, yeah, that's like, I do think that consciousness will figure out how to move it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like, that's important for us to be able to like take it out of this. Maybe it's not even in this creature. Maybe it's not even in this little biological form that we have. Maybe it's like surrounds this, or maybe it just powers this remotely. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe this is just a powered like avatar.
Dude,
these are avatars, and maybe consciousness is actually working remotely. But I think that's all I can say. All I can say is I think, and because I don't fucking know. And so, yeah, it's kind of important to like go down that kind of train of thought and say, okay, we can't stop artificial intelligence, and we can't stop progress. And so a guy like Ray Kurzweil, which I need to listen to that podcast, I've always liked him because he's like, by this year,
dude, he said I think he said something by next year, 2025, and then another one like 2029, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, I really like to hear people put it into those like
concrete.
Yeah, because even if it's like 1 year out this way, 2 years out this, 5 years that way, I don't care. But I want to know in the vicinity, because time fucking flies, dude.
Oh.
And we thought that there was going to be freaking, you know, flying cars by this time.
I think the technology is there.
I don't think the infrastructure is not there, though.
Yeah, but I also think whomever powers it be are just like, this isn't, we don't really need this.
So we don't need it. It's like, you know, frivolous. But also, the whole idea of taking the conscious and uploading it to whatever, a little fucking hard drive.
Yeah.
they don't want everybody's consciousness.
No.
That is something that is going, that's already been decided for centuries.
Interesting.
These royal bloodlines that run right. so deep, those are the consciousness. That these people have been bred for this shit for centuries.
Here's my dispute towards that. They are getting our consciousness regardless. They could gatekeep certain things, but the fact of the matter is we have the internet. We have a Google. We're developing a hive mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so whatever.
So ours is feeding the hive.
Yeah. Whatever. But this, even this paranoid schizophrenic who they're like, you're not invited to the club. Doesn't matter. He's still Googling shit. You're still seeing how his brain is ticking, and it's just contributing more and more
data
to the hive.
Okay. So maybe it's just for like data collection, but then it's just. I mean, we're going back to like natural selection. You're going to find out what works and what doesn't work.
Right.
And we're doing this like genetically, right? Like when they start making people that are just like, you know, genetically resistant to HIV or something.
Right.
Then something else is wrong because they tweak something. So yeah. Now they're susceptible to this other autoimmune disorder or something.
That's kind of the thing with CRISPR.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So then once they start doing that with consciousness and they go, nah, we don't need like Omar like types. We don't need guys that are just like kind of creative, kind of a little bit of conspiracy theorist, kind of a little lazy, kind of a little motivated. We don't need that. Mm. So if they get rid of my type,
yeah,
then this whole place could be fucked too. Because my type might have been the one that's like, yeah, but I'm the one that doesn't let the water run before he gets in the shower. You know what I'm saying? Like,
crazy way to bring it back.
So maybe they do have to keep all consciousness. And I think that, I mean, that's just saying that my consciousness is individual and I'm the only one that sees it this way, because I don't know. Maybe you're a figment of my imagination, so I don't fucking know.
Oh, it's funny you touched on that, because I went a little bit deeper when I was, it was more of like a rant to this other person. It wasn't even a conversation. It was more like me saying, these are my thoughts on it. And I branched off so far to like even consider that we've already done this.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe this is all a game, almost Matrix-like, but not necessarily like plugging in like that. It's more that right now, like my consciousness up above wanted to experience what it was like to be human. And have a human experience. And have a human experience with limited terms.
Yeah.
And so I uploaded, and right now this is a game. And there's no way of knowing though that there is a game, that we are playing a game, because then it wouldn't feel real.
It wouldn't feel real. Yeah, I mean that's a great one too, because you wouldn't know. And the fact that it's like you have limited opportunities, limited lives or energy or whatever, like a video game does. But there are, you know, certain accounts in certain cultures, ancient societies of people living past what we know to be like a livable age. Like,
right.
I think we say 100 years. It used to be kind of 120 years.
Moses is like 900, or Noah is like 900 years. Yeah.
And that could be just like simple, like, syntax.
Yeah, I'll say syntax errors.
But also, you got to think that we're fucking like amazing upgrades of a fucking Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
You know, so if you started, and my father always kind of did some of this for me, but I just didn't see it when I was young. If you start from the time you're a baby, it's okay, we're breastfeeding the kid. All right, we're giving him only like this great organic food. All right, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And you keep it up, and it's like, by the time they're this, okay, we're massaging their little legs and getting their legs pumping. All right, now they got tummy time. Now they're putting their head up. Now they can walk. If you start and you master first, say, you know, and it's not like you have to do it in steps. It all kind of happens organically as a human, but your body, if your body's in tip-top shape,
mm-hmm.
Then your mind is in tip-top shape. Then your spirit has to be in tip-top shape. then I think that you can probably kind of like not live longer, but live to the full potential of what you're, what you could do with this avatar. Some people are born with disabilities, and right. nobody's born perfect. Some people are a really incredible specimen.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that when my pops was young, he'd go. I mean, when I was young, my pops would go, hey, you should grab those dumbbells and go like this. They're going to open your chest up and your yeah. arms and all that stuff. And I never paid attention to them. I'd do a little bit here and there. And right, I, you know, when I was young, I wasn't like, I'm not like I'm now, you know, out of shape. But then he'd be like, you should do some pull-ups. They're going to get your back nice. And, you know, and he would yeah. always say stuff to me. Hey, don't wear your pants so low. It's going to give you back problems later. You know, he'd always like right, give me those tips of things that he was starting to feel, but he had this like kind of like clarity to it, which I didn't see. And now I think about it, I'm like, if you enrich a child's life from early on with great like mental, physical, and spiritual discipline, mm-hmm. that's probably like who these crazy, you know, incredible gurus are or right. whatever, like these brilliant minds, you know, like they had that from early on. And as we know, it's just like everything just follows its steps, right? Just snowballs into mm-hmm. something. So I think that in this life or in this game that we're playing, like this avatar that we have, you know what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
And they say that they say that that's what humans kind of have versus other animals. Like, we make this distinction of this is good for you, this is bad for you. These dogs won't stop drinking fucking water if I don't take the fucking water bowl away.
Mm-hmm.
They'll piss in the house, they'll piss in their own kennel, they'll piss on the front door.
We do have a sense of awareness that exceeds,
but they have this like excessive nature where they just won't stop.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying like we have an awareness of like I should stop because if I don't, these things may happen and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and at some point you make excuses for yourself too and you allow yourself to go down those things like I have with food and, yeah. you know, like whatever, like trying to get healthy again, trying to get in shape. And I'm not trying to be like, you know, an athlete or anything, but I realized that I was like, oh, one of my... A contribution to my laziness and lack of creativity is the fact that I don't treat my body with that same type of discipline.
Right.
So like, of course you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is you know, either stretch or you work out or you take the dogs for a little walk or you let them outside, you make your coffee, blah, blah, blah. By the time you get in the studio, you're like, you're cooking. One little right. idea can turn into a song.
Right.
Can turn into a concept for a whole album, you yeah, know, whatever. But if you're like not doing the right steps and then you just go in the studio and you're like, all right, I'm going to do something. You know, that creativity is not going to flow.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a little bit of assistance at that point. Like, that's why people smoke weed or
right.
drink a beer, you know, or loosen up, like, or maybe take certain like nootropics or something, you know?
Speaking of the devil, look, you could actually, you could take some magic mind. Look at that. Wow. That was smooth.
That was perfect.
That was smooth. You never had one of these, right?
I didn't have one, no.
Yeah, you want to try it?
Yeah.
This is perfect because you have a gig coming up.
Tell me about it. Yeah, I know. I got
to learn. No, so Magic Mind, yeah, it's a nootropic. It actually like boosts energy and focus. I've taken it for the past like couple months now. And it does like, you really don't need a coffee. Like you said, you get up in the morning. You do your little stretch. Like one of the first things I do is I get up, I walk to the fridge, and then I just take a shot of this. I just kind of move around, get some sun. We'll take a little walk around the block. Then I sit on my chair and I'm like, all right, let's work. And there's no jitters, none of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that blood flow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's you've been taking this for a while.
Yeah. It's cool. You just kind of like, you know, maybe one shoot it or just like half and half. Try it out.
Am I just going to shoot it right now on the podcast?
Yeah, dude. If you like it, you know, you can order yourself with a little discount code. We got a morning drinker at the checkout. It was like packages.
Nootropics, matcha, adaptogens, and vitamins.
Boom.
Either alongside your morning caffeine or by itself.
It's all you need.
Wow.
It's good. It's really, really good.
Ashwagandha. I mean, there's certain things that... Who would have fucking said the word ashwagandha to me when I lived in my hometown? Just be like... Stupid.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. You know?
But you take it.
Yeah, I mean... It's got a lot of good stuff in it, dude. Wow. Magic Mind new elixir. Huh. Productivity. I'm going to need this because got a long gig with...
Yeah, drink half of it if you want. And then drink... Or just drink it all right now. It's good. There you go.
Ooh, that's bomb.
Yeah, I almost wish it was like...
Passion fruit.
Yeah.
That flavor is bomb. I love that. Good stuff. I'll let you know how I feel, like, when I'm three sets in and I'm just like...
Now you won't be jittery at all. It's just like this mellow...
You ever fuck with kava?
No, actually. I've been meaning to. Is it too much?
I used to play at the kava lounge
here. Yeah, in North Park, right?
That was like...
No, it was like...
Like India Street.
Yeah.
Kettner.
Yes. I know, like right off the freeway, right off the 5. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And they would give you like little shots, like kava root shots. But then a while back, I was in Florida and I haven't been drinking. And I went after a show, I went to a kava bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a bar, but people are sitting there with like a bowl and it's kava
juice. Yeah.
And you kind of just like drink it. It's like a tea.
Yeah.
And they have all these different blends and you can blend it with tea or coffee or something. I don't remember exactly, but I just told the lady, oh, there's flavors and stuff. And I told the lady, I was just like, you know what? Just, I've had it before. And the first time I had it, when I took it as a shot, it gave me like a crazy body buzz, like a, like a body head, like, and it was kind of a little uncomfortable. Like say when you inhale a cigar or something,
right.
Like a little too high. But it went away. It didn't last very long. But this one, it was just, I was like, I plan on going to sleep. Like as soon as my Uber gets here or whatever, I'm going to the hotel. And I was like, so give me something that's going to like chill me out a little bit and help me, you know. And she just gave me an OG one, regular kava, no sweetener, no nothing. It was fucking bomb.
Nice.
And it like had me in such a nice, like before I went to bed.
Yeah, mellow.
Like it felt like homeostasis. It felt like
nice.
Like this is how it's all supposed to work.
That's us right now. That's what we're doing up above in our consciousness is here on the couch shooting a pod.
Yeah, like that's in homeostasis. Yeah. This is like,
yeah.
Do this, do that.
That's exactly what's happened.
We are overstimulated as humans.
100%. I'm just checking it.
Yeah, I drank half a Red Bull. Half a Budweiser Zero Michelada, just so you know, it's no alcohol.
Hell yeah.
And
a Magic Mind now.
And a Magic Mind.
You're all the stimulants now. It's like,
oh, dude, this can't. I'm gonna.
You're experiencing the human experience right now.
I think my avatar is pretty used to mixing a lot of substances.
Dude, not me. I'm sensitive. I'm a little bitch.
I'll be shitting my pants.
I am so sensitive. I just want to traverse the universe. That's why I go down these little rabbit holes of conspiracy and thinking, oh, that'd be cool if this is. I think some of the stuff that I'm saying is inevitable. I really kind of believe that. Whether that's happened before, I don't know. Or maybe we're going to be the first of our kind. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool. I think a lot of shit is happening right now that, like you said, I think there's like some elites, some royal bloodlines.
That's undoubtable. Yeah, I mean, that's come on, man. We know that Jesus Christ is one of them. He comes from bloodline.
Oh, man.
Well, he comes from bloodline and that same bloodline is still very, very powerful.
Elaborate.
Yeah, it just runs down into like the leaders of all the most powerful countries in the planet, including this one.
Yeah,
like everyone who has been a president is definitely coming, has some of that bloodline, a certain percentage. Think about what we do here with, say, like, and this is not the same thing, and this is really tragic, but think about like Native Americans.
Oh.
We measure how much percentage of blood you have.
Yeah.
And depending on that, actually give you something.
Right.
So what if your percentage is less and you don't qualify for that? You don't qualify for that stipend or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you're like, but I'm fucking Native American.
Yeah.
Like me, I'm Native American. You're Native American too.
Yeah, but not enough.
But we not enough, and we definitely don't qualify.
Right.
And it's okay. Like, I'm not saying I want it, you know? All I'm saying is that we can trace bloodlines pretty fucking far back. And with the, you know, Human Genome Project, they did a really good job of mapping shit out. Although I think that that's a there's a big conspiracy behind that because of who funded that.
Right.
And
who funded it?
From what I've heard is that it comes from the Mormon church.
The Mormons funded it.
This is a conspiracy, dog.
That's what I wanted to get into.
Oh, what? Dude, yeah, I know. This is a long one, too. I can't go down this one. But all I'm saying is, I fucking want everybody to be like, oh, I want to do a, you know, 23andMe or whatever.
Yeah. They're collecting all that data, dude.
Collecting all the data. And they're like, the consciousness, the bloodline, the DNA.
It's all there.
They're preparing. They've got these little Petri dishes. Yeah. With a little fucking SD card on top that's going to have your consciousness. And it's got your body or whatever body they want to put you in. And they're like, all right, this will do good in Tatooine, you know, in Arrakis. This one's gonna do good in Caladan.
It's not even an SD card, dude. They're figuring out how to upload that shit into like crystals and rock.
Oh, yeah. Crystals, that's the bet. You nailed it. Oh my God. You just made me think of this whole thing about crystal lattices. Yeah, it's just like they say that. Shit. How much time we got?
We finally got here.
When I went to the pyramids in Teotihuacan, which is like they say they don't know who the fuck built these pyramids down in Mexico. It's a huge city of the gods. And
yeah, it was built before
all the civilizations that they know.
Just like the pyramids in Egypt.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and so the guide was kind of annoying.
Right.
He was like a younger kid. Like, my lady and I, we took him to dinner with us. We're just like, yeah, come hang out with us. He was our guide for the day, so I bought his dinner and whatever.
Yeah.
At first, he was just like giving me all the whatever, and I wasn't asking very many questions because I was just listening. Then we're like having dinner, and then I'm just like we're gonna go see this pyramid right now, right? He's like, yeah. I go, what do you think these things are for?
Nice.
And he goes, well, some people say that this was a power plant.
Okay, so similar to the ones in Giza.
Yeah, and he said, and there's people who come here all the time, and you'll think they're tourists if you don't know who they are, and they're doing research.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and I've talked to some of them, and some of them have asked me questions, and you know, and they have to be cautious,
right,
when they're there, because they also don't want to disrespect, you know, this is like somebody's heritage, and
right,
you know
what I'm saying,
like whatever. But I'm excited. The guy goes, this guy was talking about how the setup on these pyramids was made to harness a type of power, whether it was like thermal or magnetic or aeolic or hydraulic or power. And he goes, and they said that there used to be lights that would light the entire avenue. So in the way that Teotihuacan is set up is they have like Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon. Those are fake names. Those aren't real names, you know, like
mm-hmm.
they're just like set up in these weird celestial patterns, like right. orders, just like, you know, the planets and whatnot. And so it's like this one used to light up this and it would cause this whole reaction. And there used to be electricity here and they could communicate with the pyramids across the fucking the ocean. And he said, these were all connected and they were all built by the same people. And I was like, you mean like Thoth and the Emerald Tablets? Like, are you talking about like, yeah. And the guy was just like, I'm not supposed to talk about this stuff.
Right, right.
But you know, we all have our discussions, like our you know, what do they call it? Like, what do they call the water? You know, when you're at work and you're like by the
water cooler talks.
The water cooler talks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, we have those talks because you see them every day and then you start noticing things, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah.
And you see how people walk while they're inside. Everybody does it the same. And there's patterns.
Yeah.
And they've studied this and they watched it for a long time, but it's not something that anybody cares to like really know about except for the people who are paying attention. But we are like ants.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And so 100%. When we go to places like that, they built these things to be like mountains.
Yeah.
And so we do that as humans. We go and go to the top to what? To harness some sort of energy, the sun's energy, or to connect with something, blah, 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 blah. He goes, you see that mountain back there? That's a pyramid. There's a mountain in the back behind. It's not even on the like archaeological site. And he goes, that's a pyramid. He's like, they've already done LIDAR scans. They know that that's a pyramid.
Yeah, there's a bunch that are look like mountains, but they're actually...
They all look like mountains.
Yeah. I've seen some shit. I forgot what... Maybe it was some Graham Hancock stuff.
Even Giza was like that.
Yeah.
Long ago.
Yeah.
When I walked to Chichen Itza and the first time I parked in you know, a little parking lot and I'm walking into the park and Chichen Itza, if you haven't been there, is like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been there. I've been at Teotihuacan a couple of times. I was just there like almost 2 years ago. But
second Jurassic Park reference, right?
Yeah.
I'm walking through the jungle and all of a sudden, through the jungle, through the trees, you start to see like a megalithic structure. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, looks like it's a fucking dinosaur or something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you walk out into the clearing and it's just like, and that's not the biggest one. But
No.
It's just so impressive. And it's just like, oh, this is the pyramid of this for this god and whatever. It was a temple for this god. And yeah, sure, but it gets repurposed. Shit gets repurposed.
Right.
Especially back then, they didn't just tear stuff down and build stuff. They would build over shit.
Yeah.
You know, they'd use the materials to build or bring more material. Anyways.
We do that for restaurants here.
We do that with restaurants. But one thing about the U.S. is that we don't really keep a lot of old stuff. We like to tear shit down and just start over.
Especially, you know? Well, on the West Coast for sure.
On the West Coast, yeah. I mean, old little cities more, like Boston little, and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, they'll...
But it's a lot of crap too. I mean, what do we keep? Do we keep cathedrals and fucking shit like that?
Right. It's
like, okay, thanks. Like, it maybe if it had some bomb-ass reverb and shit, I'd be down for it. But like, I don't really give a fuck about that. It's not going to last 600 years.
Mm-hmm.
Those are few and far between. I've been to some like Santiago where you see it and it's like massive because they keep on building up. But yeah, I think that...
You think these pyramids were all built by the same, people, species? What is it? You think they're people?
I think it's the same order or fraternity of people.
Okay.
I say fraternity and not like... Like a society, because I think it's male, men that do it. But I think that, they traveled all over. And they did go. And they were
all over this planet or all over the galaxy?
All over the galaxy. They came and left already.
Yeah.
They're still here. Yeah. Like, there's those secret orders, right? Of men, the, you know, say Masons or Illuminati or a bunch of different crazy shit, but.
You think they're amongst, or do you think they're in the water?
I don't. That's a hard one because I think that the water is.
That's the best place to hide.
That's where everything is.
Yeah,
and they're not hiding because we can already go there, dude. They'd be like, "Yeah, our submarines can't make it down there."
The Well, one just exploded last, or imploded last.
Dude, that thing was run with a GameCube controller. That wasn't a submarine, dude. That was a tin can.
That thing was just.
Can't believe that guy went and killed his kid.
Yeah.
Dick. Yeah, the same people have been building this stuff for a long time, and it's like
they all look too similar, huh?
Maybe it is a game.
I think
it maybe is. It's a game, and when your tribe,
right,
your Age of Empires or whatever, your little tribe gets to become a breakaway civilization.
Yeah,
they're gone, dude. Because maybe they were reptiles, and then they were, you know, whatever. Birds, and then they were, now they're humans, yeah. like ape, you know, it's fucking, what's the name of that game where they all fight? Carnage or some shit?
Oh yeah, no, Rampage. No.
Rampage, yeah. Maybe it is just like different types of species, you know, the animal kingdom or whatnot.
Yeah,
maybe each one of them gets to evolve and get off this planet and go somewhere else and populate, and that's why we see the movies and there's reptile people and there's elephant people, yeah. and there's whatever. But I do really believe that it's the same, at least it's the same knowledge and the same bloodline that has been creating these things all over the planet for a long time.
I think the architecture is too similar throughout, that if it weren't the same people, like...
Why?
Yeah. It's the same knowledge that was for sure shared. Yeah. Because it's way too coincidental.
Yeah, and they say that you know, they... The Emerald Tablets say it was Thoth, you know, and it's like, that gets really weird and kind of woo kind of shit. But
I love it.
But honestly, like, they all talk about a dude, looked a kind of certain way, and it doesn't have to be the same person.
Right.
It's just like when you see, you know, like a guru, they all kind of look the same. And when you see like a Catholic, you know, whatever.
It's the Dalai Lama, dude. There's been plenty.
The Dalai Lama, exactly. Yeah. Like you go by, there's like a script, you know?
Yeah.
And so this whole idea of Thoth and the bringer of civilization and knowledge and you know, it's like, it makes sense to me. If you think about it, like,
love it.
You get bestowed this fucking secret and you know.
Oh, you fucking know.
Yeah, you fucking know. And then you build pyramids and then you build, you know, whatever, Atlantis and shit like that. And I recently have been starting to learn a little bit more about, and it goes back. So another thing I saw, have you heard of Lemuria?
That sounds familiar. That sounds familiar.
So, you know, during this whole like never ending, you know, formations on Earth and the plate tectonics, there was another continent that is sunken where the Indian Ocean is, where Madagascar and all connects the Middle East to Africa.
Yeah. That's where it was like a... Yeah,
it's another continent called Lemuria, I think is what it's called.
And there's one off the coast of... Not that side of Australia, but like where Oceania, where New Zealand, all that stuff.
That's another one. God, I'm spacing on the name for that one. But yeah, that's another one. And of course, dude.
Yeah.
Water levels go up and down.
Yeah. So, but essentially, like New Zealand is actually like the highest mountain peaks.
The highest mountain peaks
of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there's you know, certain theories that Atlantis was Lemuria off of the eastern coast of the African continent in the Indian Ocean. And I've just been seeing this fucking name everywhere. First of all, I was just out there.
Right.
I was just in fucking Reunion Island and Mauritius. And then you see the people there.
They look different.
They're different. Just like the people in Australia, just like the Aborigines in Australia, just like the people in southern Mexico. And
they look different.
They're not mixed like this. They're mixed different. And they're like, oh yeah, it's Malagasy, like the Madagascar, the African, the Indian, a little bit of European in there.
Right.
And they got this mixture, right?
Yeah.
They're different, dude. They're different. Just like you see Aborigines in Australia and you're like, they're different. Just like you see Native Americans here and you're like, they're different.
They're different.
Genetically, That shit don't lie, dude, for centuries and centuries. That's what I'm saying. When they collect, when they're collecting, when the fucking Mormons are taking everybody's little saliva samples and shit and whatever, they're like tracing it and they're putting it back together because they know that there's
maybe certain, that's the whole mission.
They're putting them back together because the mission is to take the original most suitable, like, evolutionary species to the next spot. We need the
fuck yeah,
the African, right, the Asian,
yeah,
the Arab, the European. We need all those original,
yeah,
like fucking Dragon Ball, you know. We need all of them, dude, to take them to the next spot, because they all do something. Because if you erase one of them, right, you go, the Omar one is too much, too lazy,
yeah,
and you don't bring that one, that consciousness, that gene, you fuck up.
Right.
You get to the next planet and there's going to be something missing,
yeah,
and everybody dies and mission failed.
Wow. Yeah. Damn. On that note, fuck it. Let's wrap it up. 3:30
on the dot.
3:30 on the dot. Peace. The world you're not in.